and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Vicki Barker in Southern California.
We made it through the fire. And now we got to make it through this.
Residents are braced for the possibility of more heavy rain falling onto hillsides left barren by the recent wildfires. One highway intersection at hard-hit Pacific Palisades was under 3 feet of sludge. CBS's Nicole Comstock is there.
There are neighborhoods here that they have roadblocks set up, and they're only letting people through who live in those neighborhoods. And as we were just up the street, they continued to shut down other streets where they're concerned they could see more flooding. So everyone being urged to take evacuation orders seriously if you get them. And also, even if you're not under a mandatory evacuation order, you really have to just pay attention to what's going on.
Stormy times in Washington, D.C., where Elon Musk continues his campaign to downsize the federal government. CBS's Jared Hill has that.
This morning, hundreds of federal workers are out of a job, and thousands more are bracing for sweeping layoffs.
We have here rule of the bureaucracy, as opposed to rule of the people.
Speaking virtually at a World Summit Thursday, Elon Musk, head of President Donald Trump's Department of Government Efficiency, said entire federal departments should be deleted.
If you don't remove the roots of the weed, then it's easy for the weed to grow back.
14 states have filed a lawsuit against Musk and President Trump, accusing Musk's DOGE team of illegal overreach. And after Manhattan U.S. Attorney Danielle Sassoon and two other top Justice Department prosecutors resigned after refusing an order to shut down the corruption probe against New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
I think the resignation of Danielle Sassoon, a firm Republican conservative who was appointed as U.S. attorney, is a real indication that there is going to be resistance to the new Trump Department of Justice.
Legal analyst and former federal prosecutor Lori Levinson. Sparks expected to fly as world leaders gather for the Munich Security Conference. European allies feel frozen out of President Trump's attempts to engage directly with Russian President Putin over Ukraine. CBS's Olivia Rinaldi has the latest.
Vice President J.D. Vance will address world leaders about the Trump administration's agenda when it comes to ending the war in Ukraine. Vance will hold a bilateral meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky on the sidelines of that conference. Also notable, the vice president will not meet with German Chancellor Olaf Scholz. Instead, he will meet with the country's opposition leader, Friedrich Merz.
Conservative Merz is the frontrunner in next week's German elections. Ahead of today's speech, Vance has told the Wall Street Journal the president's not going into those negotiations with Putin blindly. And we have this news just in. Pope Francis has been hospitalized with bronchitis. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the woman who wants to head the Department of Education says private and charter schools have every right to refuse kids who don't meet their standards. What does that mean for children in Wisconsin?
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have more snow on the way late today, tonight, through much of Saturday. We could get 4 to 7 inches by the time everything winds down late Saturday into Saturday night. Today, snow in the afternoon up to 23, snow tonight 18, 29 tomorrow, with much colder temperatures for most of next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, 7 below 0.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that, but when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, our pal Emerson Lehman from the WBAY Morning Show is in studio. Up-and-coming singer-songwriter Kalen Cole performs live, and it's a bar band Friday night. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
It's a Friday. Welcome to it. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Oh, by the way, happy Valentine's Day. I'll tell you what, there are some Valentines not very happy if they've fallen victim to romance scams. Oh, it happens all the time. You know, the difficult part? Trying to get somebody out of a romance scam. The Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection's got their eye on it. Stephanie Hoff visiting with one of their administrators about it on this edition. We're also keeping an eye on Washington, D.C. Yesterday, Brooke Rollins, 33rd U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary, was sworn in. Tell you a little bit more about her and also focus in on how you need to be ready to pivot with some of these announcements out of Washington, D.C., specifically about tariffs. Ben Duncanson with Compeer is keeping an eye on things. I got a chance to visit with him. We're also finding out about the weather for the weekend, which is getting interesting by the hour. So today, it looks like we're going to see mostly cloudy skies for duration of the day. Snow is on the way, but probably not until the afternoon commute. Daytime highs today around 24, but we'll feel a wind out of the south up to 15 miles an hour. That means we've got wind chills to deal with. More snow again tonight, maybe 1 to 2 inches possible in some areas, maybe more in others. We'll get Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, to weigh in on that. Saturday, again, snow in the forecast. Sunday, maybe a little bit more. Like I said, Stu will guide us through the Valentine Day Friday forecast and into the weekend, all on this edition of the Midwest Farm Report.
Policies and regulations are shifting in D.C. What does that mean for your farm? Find out during Compeer Financial's free webinar on February 19th at 1 p.m. Break down key policy updates and get actionable guidance with perspectives on legislative, economics, and trade. Plus, submit your own questions for a live Q&A session moderated by Compeer's ag economist, Megan Roberts. Register at compeer.com/webinar for the February 19th virtual event to navigate ag policy changes with confidence.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
No one wants to open their mailbox and find a swarm of bees. But for those passionate about beekeeping, that's exactly what they'll be hoping for here soon. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. And with the new year underway, Blaine's Farm and Fleet is helping beekeepers prepare for spring with their live honeybee orders for the 2025 season. Ordering early ensures that bees will be ready to pollinate gardens, support crops, produce honey, and help the environment as soon as flowers begin to bloom. So whether you're a seasoned beekeeper or just starting, now is the perfect time to set your hive up for success. Joe Lopez, Communications Manager for Blaine's Farm and Fleet, shares everything you need to know to get your hives buzzing this spring.
We're excited for the 2025 season. Really excited to get those deliveries out. If you order by March 16th, you'll receive your bees between April 22nd and May 16th, weather dependent, of course. If it's still freezing out, we're going to have to delay that a little bit.
And what types of bees are people able to order? Where are they coming from? How does that even work to say, yes, I want to order bees? Do I have to qualify?
No, you don't need a license or anything. We don't do any background checks. I guess we just trust everyone will use the bees responsibly, not put it into your neighbor's mailbox or something like that. We'll have the Harvest Lane 3-pound Italian bees with the queen available, and also their Carnelio Loon. And that's our two types of bees that we'll have available that you can order from us online at farmandfleet.com.
How many roughly come in a hive, or what kind of a hive are containment do they come in?
Okay, so each package of bees includes approximately 3 pounds of bees. And we add a little bit extra just in case some don't make it, all the way to your house from the major beehive that we collect them from. Each of those comes with a queen bee, or you can order a separate queen bee. We have two types. There's the Italian and the Russian queen bee. And you don't want to order both because those two don't get along very well.
Why is it important for beekeepers to order their honeybees early? I think we're right now, it's pretty cold though. I'm not really thinking right about bees in the nice weather.
Yeah, it's freezing outside and it's hard to believe, you know, that it's just around the corner that you'll be able to set up your hive and get going on your honey collection. But early ordering is crucial because honeybee supplies are limited. There's only so many to go around and the demand increases. You know, as it starts to warm, like you said, people aren't thinking of doing this now, but as spring approaches, they will start thinking about it and you don't want to be last in line and left out. It's a good idea to get in there. And if you, like I said, if you order them by March 16th, you can be guaranteed your delivery in that window that I provided earlier.
Why do they need to order bees? If they have their own hive, you know, they have their colony going. Why do they need to get that extra support?
Yeah, if you already have your own colony going, there are different, you know, avenues you can take. There's books, there's online tutorials, there's local associations that can help you grow that if that's your plan is to organically increase the size of your beehive. But if you want to set up a separate second one and you want to kind of get a jump start on that, it's easiest just to order the 3 pounds of bees from Blaine's Farm and Fleet and have it delivered to you. It takes a long time, and even some hives aren't very good at multiplying and creating a second hive, and you'd have to find a queen either way. Like, that's part of the deal of starting a hive is getting those queen bees. We do sell those separately. Like I said, we have the Italian one and the Russian one, but it is just way easier if you want to start another honey collection in your backyard to just go ahead and order that from us.
So if I am a beekeeper, I put in my order, and now I've got the few months in between to wait for them to arrive. What steps should I be taking to prepare my hives that I currently have or just make sure that I'm ready for their arrival?
So first off, you want to select a location, somewhere that's sunny and safe, near a water source, of course. Keep it away from high traffic areas. Make sure that it's stable and protected from wild animals. Skunks want to get in there. Mice want to get in there. But if you're way up north, bears are something to be concerned about. So you just want to make sure that they're protected. Then you want to get your hive prepared before the bees arrive there. You know, they're going to want a place to live like right off the bat, like from your mailbox to the hive. Like, they're not going to like sit in your bedroom while you build this thing or put this together. So one thing you want to make sure is you want to stain that, you know, protect it from the weather, but don't use any dark colors. It's important for the bees, especially in the summer, to stay cool. So if you use a white, or that's why you'll see a lot of people who are beekeepers have the white beehives in their backyards and the frames in their backyards that kind of reflect the sunlight. And then you got to set up your feeder beforehand. You want to have a 50-50 sugar water mix a few days before the bees arrive. And you'll need at least 2 gallons of sugar water per hive. That's what they live on. So you want to make sure that you have that ready to go. And then again, like I said, there's lots of books. There's lots of online tutorials. We have blogs on farmerfleet.com that has some information there. There's Facebook groups. There's a lot here in the Madison area of people who've been doing it for a long time and have tips on, you know, what works best in the Madison area for these guys. So, you know, I think it's a great idea to check all that out and be ready, you know, for your new arrivals before they even arrive to your house.
It's a great opportunity for those who maybe are new to the beekeeping world and are interested even just having a smaller backyard hive or, you know, getting into the world of beekeeping, right?
Absolutely. We have what we call the Langstroth hive, which is an excellent choice for beginners. It's easy to use. It's easy to inspect, and it allows the bees to build their honeycombs into the frames. It makes it really simple to remove the frames for inspection and for honey harvesting. We also have anything you might need to, you know, all the accoutrements, the protective clothing, the suits, the gloves, the veil, you know, the traditional beekeeper outfit. We have the smoker. It helps mask the alarm pheromones and encourages them to consume honey, making inspection safer and easier. We use natural fuels like burlap, wood chips, and pine needles for the smoker. And then we also have the feeders. It's basically a bucket. on the frame feeder that provides sugar syrup as an energy source when natural nectar is unavailable. And then the honey extraction tools, you know, you're going to need frame grips, hive tools, and a honey extractor. All those are necessary for harvesting honey once the hive is established.
And we mentioned, for those who maybe are already managing hives, what are some of the best practices for this winter hive care to ensure the colonies survive until spring? It's not like we can just throw a blanket on or, you know, grab an extra sweatshirt like we do.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, I wouldn't want to be outside trying to survive right now. It's really cold out there. Yeah, for bee tips in the winter, the most important thing is to monitor the food storage. They rely on stored honey throughout the winter, and usually a hive will consume about 50 to 60 pounds over the winter. If the honey's low, you can supplement that with candy board or sugar syrup, which is also known as sugar board. It's a simple feeding solution for the winter months. And then you want to maintain that hive protection, insulate it to have the shield it from freezing temperatures, and create windbreaks to protect it from harsh winter weather. Wrapping the hive with black tar paper can help absorb heat from the winter sun and regulate internal temperatures. Limit disturbances, you know, loud noises or anything that might hit into the hive and wake them up. Basically, they're huddled together, keeping each other warm. Anything that kind of breaks that up is stressful for the hive. So you want to make sure that they're warm and that the queen is protected and that they're in a safe spot away from any sort of traffic, anyone that might bump into it. And then, of course, like we mentioned earlier, the pests, the mice, the skunks or the raccoons. Make sure that you have ways of keeping them away from your hive. Make sure it's well sealed so that other pests can't get in there. Everybody's heard of bears and Winnie the Pooh trying to get into the honey. And that's a legit thing if you live far up north. So one thing you might want to consider is installing some electric fencing around your hives.
And what advice would you give to beekeepers now thinking ahead for that spring season? I know it's hard to think about now, but it will be here before we know it. So is there anything to get off on the right track?
Make sure you start early. Like I said, place your orders now just to make sure that you're at the front of the queue. So you're one of the first to get your bees. Gather all your supplies, all your equipment, dig into that knowledge that you've learned from those sources we mentioned earlier. Make sure you have your nutrients ready. Feed your bees sugar water and consider adding pollen substitutes if natural pollen is scarce in your area, if you live in the suburbs, for instance. And then expand gradually. You want to make sure that you avoid adding supers or extra hive bodies until the bees have occupied the existing space and drawing out and filling at least 7 frames.
Once again, that's Joe Lopez, Communications Manager for Blaine's Farm and Fleet, along with us. And as he said, the sooner you get your orders in, the better. So be sure to get your order in by the March 16th deadline so you can expect your bees between April 22nd and May 16th. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. but you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a TGIF Friday edition. Our old friend Reed Galen, founder of The Union, will be here to talk about voter registration, how to be a voter, and we'll do a little what's worse.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hey, don't forget that. Next, I'm getting a couple different folks on our talk text line that are wondering about the big discrepancy they're seeing on snow volume expected starting this afternoon. Anywhere from just a trace to more than 8 inches. Can you break it out for us?
Well, it depends where you're at, and it depends on what charts and what models forecasters are looking at and how excited they are to see it. Snow is going to build in. We can count on that. And the radar not indicating anything, you know, knocking at the door yet this morning. Snow in South Dakota, Nebraska, down into Kansas. Remember, that low is going to build in from the west. There's a great expectation it's going to tap into all kinds of moisture out of the Pacific Southwest. And it's going to funnel it all our way. My expectation is some snow does develop, and it happens first in the far western part of Wisconsin by late afternoon into the evening. Central part of the state may not happen until evening by 5 or 6, and it may not be until after dark in eastern Wisconsin. And we are going to definitely have precipitation. Some of the heaviest snows I'd expect to be in that central part of Wisconsin, oh, maybe Mauston, but certainly a bit further north up towards Stevens Point, up to Wausau, up to Rhinelander, that area. There may be very well some amounts up to 7 or 8 inches there. The rest of us a little bit on the lighter side. Lighter, more wet snow, especially in southern Wisconsin, maybe only 2 to 4 inches. Eau Claire and further up toward the far northwest, maybe only 2 to 4, and it'll be kind of dry. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Policies and regulations are shifting in D.C. What does that mean for your farm? Find out during Compeer Financial's free webinar on February 19th. 15th at 1 p.m. Break down key policy updates and get actionable guidance with perspectives on legislative, economics, and trade. Plus, submit your own questions for a live Q&A session moderated by Compeer's ag economist, Megan Roberts. Register at compeer.com/webinar for the February 19th virtual event to navigate ag policy changes with confidence.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter. There's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller Milk Receiver Pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Policies and regulations are shifting in D.C. What does that mean for your farm? Find out during Compeer Financial's free webinar on February 19th at 1 p.m. Break down key policy updates and get actionable guidance with perspectives on legislative, economics, and trade. Plus, submit your own questions for a live Q&A session moderated by Compeer's ag economist, Megan Roberts. Register at compeer.com/webinar for the February 19th virtual event to navigate ag policy changes with confidence.
All right, buddy, put a bow on it for us. What we got coming?
Well, it should give you an idea here. The winter weather advisory starts in western Wisconsin at 2 this afternoon, central Wisconsin 4 this afternoon, and in the east about 6 p.m. tonight. That winter weather advisory runs right into 6 a.m. tomorrow. What we can expect is that we'll see more clouds develop and snow developing today, first in the west, not until this evening in the east. Temperatures could very well be up around 20 almost anywhere, mid-20s in the south, and the south winds about 5 to 15. Snow and a little breezy, not bad, but snow will definitely be accumulating through the nighttime as we drop back into the teens, maybe a 20 in the south with the southeast winds gusting. Cloudy and a little light snow lingering on for Saturday. Temps trying to be even more mild, a lot of 20s, maybe a 30 in the south. but the winds are going to become north during the day. And by Sunday, Pam, a little light snow lingers. Like I say, about 2 to 4 southern Wisconsin, 3 to 5 a bit further north, heaviest in the central part of the state, and again, lighter up in the northeast.
All right.
In the northwest, excuse me.
All right. We'll see what we get out of it and talk to you again on Monday with the numbers, all right?
Sounds good. See you then.
All right. Stumach, ag meteorologist, off onto the weekend. Thank you again to our friends from Compeer Financial for bringing you the ag weather update. More from our friends at Compeer Financial on the way this Friday. Happy Valentine's Day.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. First, fire, now flood. Evacuation orders in place for Southern California hillsides and neighborhoods left barren by the recent wildfires. CBS's Michelle Gili says that affects kids at some local schools.
They will be relocated to an area school because they're in an area where they could be in danger.
One intersection in hard-hit Pacific Palisades was under 3 feet of sludge. World leaders have gathered in Munich for the annual security conference there. Vice President J.D. Vance sat down with NATO Chief Mark Rutte before addressing the wider gathering.
Talk about NATO, and particularly the president's desire to see NATO spend a little bit more resources on defense.
This news just in, a federal judge has temporarily blocked President Trump's freeze on funding to U.S. aid and development programs. And on this Valentine's Day, more than 60 Thai couples, including 20 same-sex pairs, have tied the knot in a mass Valentine's Day wedding ceremony. CBS News Brief, I'm Vicki Barker.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Forever bros Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes are coming under fire from Kansas City Chiefs fans for having a double date with their best girls, Taylor Swift and Brittany Mahomes, fairly certain it was in that order, just 24 hours before the Super Bowl. What? Word on the street is that Taylor Swift ordered a huge Kobe burger and French fries, and according to Chiefs fans on social media, that could be exactly why the Chiefs laid an egg in front of a worldwide audience while trying to three-peat. No idea what Kelce and Mahomes had to eat, but after seeing the way they played during the big game, I'm guessing it had lots of tryptophan. Irate Chiefs fans, most of whom I'm guessing probably never played in a Super Bowl, disapproved of the double date, insinuating that said date and hanging with girls so close to the big game was obviously the reason the Chiefs lost. If only Kansas City sports fans provided the two football players with this information beforehand. It just seems like a no-brainer to me. You can't eat 2 days before the big game. There's nothing funnier than irrational sports fans. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks head into the All-Star break with a victory. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks win a close one in Minnesota, 103-101 against the Timberwolves. Damian Lillard was out with a hamstring. Giannis still out with a calf muscle injury. And so that left center Brooke Lopez and several new players to battle for the win.
You know, we had a nice mix out there. So great to just see everyone feel each other out, you know, get a good sense of who we are. But, you know, when it boiled down to it, we just had each other's back. We were communicating, we were making the right play. We were playing with energy, and it was just a great win to have going forward.
Baseball. The Brewers signed Rays left-hander Tyler Alexander to a one-year deal. NFL. The Packers went into this season without a true number one receiver. So how did that work out? Jordan Love.
There's definitely, I think, areas that we need to focus on and improve on to get better, kind of get over the hump that we hit this year, and just get more consistent, focus on the details.
That's the Packers' Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday, Todd Alba returns to the big chair before Pat returns from vacation, and let's get this weekend started together. Join us.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We have more snow on the way late today, tonight, through much of Saturday. We could get 4 to 7 inches by the time everything winds down late Saturday into Saturday night. Today, snow in the afternoon up to 23, snow tonight 18, 29 tomorrow, with much colder temperatures for most of next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 14 below zero.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Yeah, wild, man.
52-year-old Texas native Brooke Rollins sworn in yesterday as our 33rd U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary. I'll tell you a little bit more about her and her credentials as we roll our way through a Friday. Welcome back, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Speaking of Washington, D.C., tariffs are making for a lot of anxiety for a lot of us, including Wisconsin farmers. Ben Duncanson is the Senior Legislative Affairs Consultant at Compeer Financial. Him and I discussed how you can mentally prepare yourself to be resilient with all these announcements. That's on the way. Today, happy Valentine's Day. It's the 14th day of February. On this day, 1960, JFK, John F. Kennedy, was in Fort Atkinson. What was he doing? Campaigning to the theme, High Hopes. He would introduce himself to people as, "Hello there, I'm Jack Kennedy. I'm a candidate in the Democratic primary for president, and I invite your support." 42 years old at the time, Fort Atkinson on this day, 1960. On this day, 1876, the telephone was patented. Both Alexander Graham Bell and Elisha Gray applied for a patent on that day. In the end, Alexander Graham Bell won on this day, 1876. And happy birthday to Teller of Penn and Teller Partnership. He is 77 years young, and now you know. As I said, happy Valentine's Day, but it's anything but happy for someone that falls victim to a romance scam. What is it? How can you prevent it? Stephanie Hoff has more.
Michelle Reinen joins us. She's the administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection at the State Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection. She says these romance scams require compassion and sensitivity from the family, and it's important to be aware of it because it can result in hundreds of thousands of dollars lost.
This might seem surprising that we'd say that this impacts older consumers, but it does. Maybe they are a widow or widower and they're just seeking companionship and friendship. And so they've gone online to try and meet a friend group or maybe find that person that they're connected to. So we have that romance scam aspect of things. And here, this is one that gets tied to emotions. So this is very difficult if you have a family member who is engaged in a romance scam to get them to realize it is a scam and back away. You have to go into this with great sensitivity and compassion and understanding. And often this results in hundreds of thousands of dollars being lost and transferred. We hear stories where an individual was so connected to the scammer, they believed the romance was true and legit, even though they'd never met the person in real life. And they were pretend overseas, but the bank had to do what we refer to as divorce them because they would no longer transfer that amount of money to this scammer for fear of what it was actually supporting overseas. And it was devastating for that individual consumer. They'd been a lifelong member of the bank, but the bank had given indications and warnings, you know, this is a scam. We can't engage anymore. We're not going to be able to. And so I'm sorry, we can't support this. We can no longer be your banker. They're extreme cases, but they're real. I mean, they really happen. And so it's hard for family. They need a support group to help the consumer realize this is legitimate.
And there you have it from the consumer protection side of the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. We talk a lot about agriculture and trade, but rural Wisconsin should be just as up to date on consumer scams. Seniors especially are a target as they're more isolated and likely have retirement money or benefits that scammers are after. Michelle Reinen along with us. She's the administrator for the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection at DATCAP. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Policies and regulations are shifting in D.C. What does that mean for your farm? Find out during Compeer Financial's free webinar on February 19th at 1 p.m. Break down key policy updates and get actionable guidance with perspectives on legislative, economics, and trade. Plus, submit your own questions for a live Q&A session moderated by Compeer's ag economist, Megan Roberts. Register at compeer.com/webinar for the February 19th virtual event to navigate ag policy changes with confidence.
Today, we're looking at a community partnership that is bringing value to the region. Rainbow Ridge Farm in Onalaska had partnered with a local youth organization to increase involvement in the county fair. It turned into a bigger opportunity to connect people to the farm and their food. Owner Cindy Haney has the story.
At one point with 4-H, we did a program called Goats Everywhere, and we were expecting like 100 people to come, and we had over 1,000. The next year, we had probably 4,000 people. From there, we started incorporating more of our guests into the farm and decided at one point, people are so disconnected from a farm, let's start a camp. So we started a day camp just to educate the local kids and for them to also have fun.
Cindy Haney from Rainbow Ridge Farm. Learn more at gowiagtourism.com.
Yesterday, Texas native Brooke Rollins became the next U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary.
Senators voting in the affirmative. Barrasso, Bozeman, Capito.
The roll call and vote on the floor of the U.S. Senate Thursday for the nomination of Brooke Rollins as Secretary of Agriculture. And once voting concluded,
the yeas are 72, the nays are 28, and the nomination of Brooke Rollins is confirmed.
The Texas native becomes the 33rd U.S. Agriculture Secretary. Once taking the oath of office, the incoming secretary says among her priorities per last month's Senate Ag Committee confirmation hearing,
we must ensure that the disaster and economic assistance authorized by Congress is deployed as quickly and as efficiently as possible. We must work with the great men and women of USDA, the stakeholder communities, and state leaders to immediately and comprehensively get a handle on the state of animal disease outbreaks.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. 52-year-old Brooke Rollins, our new U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary. Her and her husband, Mark, have 4 kids. They call Fort Worth, Texas, home. She's a graduate from Texas A&M University with a degree in agricultural development, also earned her Juris Doctor with honors at the University of Texas School of Law. Prior to being named Ag Secretary, Rollins was the founder, president, and chief executive officer of the America First Policy Institute. During President Trump's first administration, she was the director of the Domestic Policy Council and assistant to the president for strategic initiatives in the White House. Brooke Rollins, our new Ag Secretary. Markets are firm in overnight electronic trade. December corn's up a penny, 4.74. November beans are up 7 at 10.52. July wheat up 9 at 6.12. Barrel cheese was 4 cents, a quarter of a cent higher, rather, at 1.83 yesterday. 40-pound block cheese stood still. AA butter was down a half at 2.40 a pound. Washington, D.C.'s created anxiety with tariffs for a lot of Wisconsin farmers. We're discussing that topic next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
the Badgers.
Feeds Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Fades.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While attacks on democracy norms ensue in Washington, state legislatures have also been busy. We have updates from Utah, Kansas, Indiana, and the contested North Carolina Supreme Court race. Voting Rights Lab reports that the Utah House is considering HB 300, which forces mail-in ballot users to deliver their ballot not by mail, but by hand to an official polling place where an ID can be presented. The elderly, disabled, and other voters for whom returning by mail is their only option would need to seek special permission. HB 332 would withdraw Utah from the Cooperative Electronic Registration Data Center, the subject of far-right conspiracy theories. The Kansas Senate passed SB 4, which requires receipt of mail-in ballots by 7 p.m. Election Day to count, rather than the current 3 days after. An Indiana Senate committee advanced SB 284, shortening early in-person voting from 28 days to 14 days, ending at noon the day before Election Day. The full Senate passed SB 10, ending use of school-issued student identification as ID for voting. In North Carolina, a district court judge dismissed a claim by a state Supreme Court candidate that in a race he lost by 734 votes, as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible. A federal appeals court may revisit it. We've linked the Voting Rights Lab tracker at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Let's rock some local music this weekend on Max Inc. Join us as we welcome Kaylin Cole and Lexi Liu, plus Yanni and Rocker will stop in for a visit. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday evenings at 6 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Ben, you're a relative newcomer on the Compeer staff, but your policy is... policy is your jam.
Yeah, thanks. Oh, first of all, thanks for having me. So I have been working for the Farm Credit System for the last 11 years. I spent the first 10 years of my life working as the staff economist for the Farm Credit Council, our national trade association that represents all of the Farm Credit System. And then I was fortunate, I also farm with my family in southern Minnesota, so I was fortunate to get an opportunity to come home and be a bigger part of my farming operation, which I am delighted that I get to be able to do that, and I was fortunate enough to talk to the fine folks at Compeer, and they were able to hire me on in June of this year. So happy to be home, happy to be on the farm, and happy to be working for Compeer.
Yeah, boy, and you're picking interesting times to be a part of this conversation, because we've been talking about the whiplash that a lot of farmers have gotten trying to figure out what's happening next. Just give us your perspective on what's going on in Washington, D.C., Ben, knowing that things do change.
Well, if there's any group of individuals out there that are used to whiplash, it's us in the hay community, whether it's markets or policy. This is a big year for agriculture. We are still hoping that we can get a farm bill passed sometime in 2025. That's our mission within Compeer, to advocate to get that passed. But there's also some other big ticket items out there for us within the agriculture community. There's a massive tax bill, $4 trillion of tax cuts coming up, and that'll be a big deal for us in agriculture, especially because a lot of us are small businesses and pass-through entities. And those are the provisions that are up this year, as well as the individual provisions as well. So that's something we're going to work on. That'll probably come in advance of the farm bill in terms of timing. The other good thing I'd like to say is, as a Minnesotan, I'm very proud that we have two new leaders on both the House and Senate Ag Committee. Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota is now the ranking member on the Senate Ag Committee. And Angie Craig, also of Minnesota, is the ranking member on the House Committee. They joined G.T. Thompson on the House side and John Bozeman on the Senate side. All four leaders are committed to agriculture. We're proud to call them supporters of farm credit and friends. So we couldn't think of a better group of leaders that will be driving this farm bill through. But given the times that we're facing, we're happy about the disaster relief bill that happened last year. It'll help get farmers through this year. But we need a farm bill to promote that certainty out there in U.S. agriculture. And we really were hoping that we can see it before the end of this year.
Now, one of the reasons we're talking to Ben is Compeer Financial routinely offers webinars to be keeping you up to speed on what's happening with these issues or any new developing issues, which can happen. And you've got some of that webinar information coming up.
Yeah. We're hosting a webinar at 1 p.m. Central Time on February 19th. It's going to be a good interview. We have our staff economist, Megan Roberts, moderating it. We have some folks from the Direction Group, formerly Endpoint, joining us as well. And if you'd like to hear my voice without a cold, I'll also be speaking on that panel as well. So it's going to be the name of the panel, if you're on the Pompeer website, is Navigating Regulatory and Policy Changes. Looking forward to seeing many of you guys on board, hopefully.
Now, give me a little update from your perspective, Ben. We talked about needing a farm bill. It's so important to the fiber, the network of what agriculture operates under. There's a couple other bills that are going to be advanced almost on an individual basis. You were talking about, Angie, bringing forward investing in rural America. That's an area that Compeer has shown commitment to for a long time. Help people understand why this particular bill being introduced is kind of a critical mechanism to help not just farmers, but the communities they depend on.
Yeah, we're actually, that bill will be dropped next week by Michelle Fischbach. Oh, yeah. Now that Angie is on the committee and has taken a leadership position, we're not 100% sure she'll be in the bill sponsoring business, but have been grateful for her support of that bill in the past, as well as Ms. Fischbach's support in reintroducing that for us out there as well. You know, there's a real need for investment, not only in agriculture, but in rural communities, and us at Compeer really, really take that to heart. We've seen a lot of rural hospitals close across the country, and we in Compeer, and as the Farm Credit System, think we can do a bigger role in helping supporting those essential rural community facilities. Not on our own. We want to partner with USDA and local community banks to really make this a team effort to make sure those facilities are there for folks that need them. I'm a farmer myself. I am blessed by the fact that my nearest hospital is only a 25-minute drive. A lot of my colleagues in the agriculture industry aren't that blessed, and we want to make sure that some of those smaller and more local facilities in the hospital space are there, as well as the senior care and child care facilities that are desperately needed additional funding and reinvestment in those rural communities. So talk about a passion project that we have here at Compeer. That's definitely one of them, because we really want to do what we can to support the rural communities we all live in as employees of Compeer as well. So super happy to be able to once again be reintroducing that bill, and are super happy with the support in Congress that we've found thus far with it.
We've often talked about agriculture being a bipartisan topic. I mean, I'd like to believe that's still the case, Ben, and you just cited an excellent example where party should not matter. From your conversations that you've had this go-round, does it still feel like agriculture is a bipartisan conversation?
Agriculture needs to be bipartisan. Our biggest friends aren't Democrats or Republicans. Our biggest friends are those people that care about rural America and care about feeding their constituents, where a lot of times are our friends in the middle of the aisle. So it is really not a bipartisan effort. In the past, they've tried to pass partisan farm bills, and that hasn't worked out so well.
Right.
The farm bill is one of the last things out there with some of the national security authorizations that are really bipartisan vehicles and bipartisan beasts. And we hope they continue to be so, because we need to see a farm bill, and the likelihood of a partisan farm bill ever making it across the finish line is very narrow. So it's one of the I like to say, at the end of the day, us in rural America and in agriculture roll up the sleeves and do what we can to help our neighbors. And that's generally the feeling that we've gotten within the Ag Committee in the past, that at the end of the day, if you have a DRR behind your name, it really doesn't matter. You just roll up your sleeves, get the work done for your constituents and for rural America out there.
Right. Ben Duncanson along with us. He's one of the government affairs specialists with Compeer Financial. Don't forget, he is going to be helping to host a special webinar on February 19th starting at 1 p.m. if you want to jump on the Compeer.com website and find more details, get logged in or signed up for that. You'll get an up-to-date look at some of the breadth of the policy work that Ben and some of the other Compeer folks are paying attention to. And that's the other thing that I think maybe people don't realize is this element of Compeer. They think about the financing, the leasing, the tax help and that type of thing. But this is where Compeer channels a lot of energy as well.
Yeah, we're fundamentally different than any other organization when it comes to lending. We're a member of the Farm Credit System. We're a farmer-owned, farmer-governed cooperative. So doing what we can to support agriculture and rural communities is essential to our mission and to our value structure within Compere itself. So we want to make sure that we're providing the information the agricultural sector needs out there. Whether you're customers or not, we're all in this together in agriculture, and we want to do what we can do to support the industry as a whole.
And speaking of that farm bill and the must-have, and farmers need to continue to be vocal. I mean, I think, you know, we get close to spring planting, then all of a sudden, you know how it goes, Ben. We're focused on the weather. I got to get this done. And we kind of forget about what's happening, you know, a couple hundred miles away. You need farmers to stay laser focused on their messaging for the farm bill.
100%. If we, as rural America, don't stand up, there's a decreasing... decreasing amount of rural legislators out there.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we need to stand together and make our voices heard, whether it's a rural legislator, urban legislator. We need to let them know the importance of the Farm Bill and need to get this passed. That's why I strongly encourage you to get engaged, pay attention out there as well. Join those great member organizations like Farm Bureaus, Farmers Union, Pork, Cattle, and all those other groups out there, soybeans, corn, wheat. They're all great organizations. We all partner with them as Farm Credit. And the more farmers stay engaged, the better outcome it will be for U.S. agriculture. So as we all listen into the planter, keep tuned in. We need you out there, folks.
All right, Ben Duncanson, some great ideas, some great messaging that he wants you to be sharing. Like I said, February 19th, he's doing that webinar. You won't be out in the tractor yet. Starts at 1 o'clock Central. So please find out the details. Stay engaged in this conversation and participate. Compure.com can help you do that. Along with Ben Duncanson, I'm Pam Yonke.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Things to consider when contemplating a move into conservation agriculture. Today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Have you ever done a risk assessment on your farm or ranch? If you haven't, you should, especially if you have employees there. They may, in fact, be required by law where you are. In any case, it's not a bad idea and helps promote a safety mindset. You can find out online how to set one up. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. When a farmer decides to adopt conservation ag practices like cover crops and no-till or reduced tillage, the first thing to know is results will not be immediate. Jeff Hadachek is an ag economist at the University of Wisconsin at Madison.
Some of those benefits of building that soil health don't manifest until years down the road. So if you just look in a single snapshot of 1 year, maybe it doesn't pencil out in 1 year, but are you factoring in sort of those long-term benefits?
And says Hadachek, results will vary over time and growing conditions, farm to farm and field to field.
These conservation practices sort of interact with those weather variables in sort of a unique way that generates different expectations for net return based on whether it's a hot year, whether it's a dry year, whether it's a really wet year. And so there's all of these factors that sort of come into play.
Hadachek says growers need to be patient as well as willing to try different things along the way.
You're thinking about like not only my returns this year, but returns in the future. And that makes sense for you as a farmer. I think you have to just experiment and to see how that plays out. do the experiments yourself, because your ground's going to react differently than somebody else's ground.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
This week on The Rational Revolution, our dear friend Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner brings Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn to talk about January 6th.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
Looking at the road that was laid before me.
From civil rights to business.
Food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is why I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local civic media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Vicki Barker. Another setback for the president's campaign to slash federal government spending. CBS's Stacey Lynn reports.
A federal judge has temporarily blocked a freeze on funding to USAID and development programs ordered by President Trump. According to court documents, a Biden-appointed judge has prohibited the administration from suspending, pausing, or otherwise preventing foreign assistance funds.
In a separate case, 14 states have filed a lawsuit accusing President Trump and Elon Musk of unconstitutional overreach over Musk's campaign to slash, well, wasteful bureaucracy or vital government functions, depending on how you see it. Apocalyptic scenes in Southern California, where heavy rain has caused mud and sludge slides on hills and neighborhoods left barren by the recent wildfires. CBS's Carter Evans describes one incident.
It was the rain first, and then all of a sudden, rushing water and police lights flashing as they're rushing.